the Ground's multi-part focus on the untold stories in South America continues this week with an examination of Chile's pension system.
Chile completely privatized its social security system 21 years ago, and some in the U.S. say it's a model for reform. But does Chile's pension system really work? Reese Ehrlich reports from Santiago.
66-year-old retired high school teacher Olga Segel welcomes a visitor into her modest two-bedroom brick house in Santiago. She pulls open an envelope to reveal her monthly pension check. It's only $167, about half of what she earned as a teacher. She has no other source of income. Her husband, a retired salesman, earns less than one-third of his old wages.
It's miserable. The pensions aren't enough for anything. We have a lot of expenses. There's lots of things we have to pay for and can't. Because of the low pensions, we're being evicted from our house, which we bought 20 years ago.
That's not how Chile's pension system is supposed to work. In 1981, dictator General Augusto Pinochet completely eliminated Chile's government-sponsored social security system and implemented a free-market, privatized pension plan. 13% of a worker's wage is automatically deducted and sent to one of seven mutual funds. Contributions are tax-deferred, similar to 401k plans in the U.S. If workers save enough and invest wisely, they are supposed to retire with dignity. The very modern Santiago Stock Exchange is home to Chile's pension funds. Those funds have grown an average of 10.7% over the past 21 years. Luis Lorraine sits on the board of directors of Habitat, Chile's second largest pension fund. He says Chile's mutual funds are better than American retirement accounts because employees can't be forced to invest in their employer's stock, as happened at Enron.
It's superior to the 401k system you have. Because, for example, in situations as of this famous company Enron, the pension funds are always involved in the great problem. In this case, they are completely out. The employer has nothing to do with the management of this fund.
Guillermo Arthur, president of the Association of Pension Funds, says Chile could serve as a model for social security reform in the U.S.
Ya han avanzado mucho los trabajadores americanos.
It would be a big advance for American workers to have a privatized, voluntary system like we have in Chile.
But critics say Chile's system has far too many flaws to serve as a model for anyone. For one thing, neither employers nor the government contribute to the retirement system. Arthur maintains this gives employers the flexibility to pay higher wages.
Acá hay una cultura en que el trabajador recibe un sueldo líquido.
Here in Chile, we have a culture of liquid wages. As a consequence, the worker would rather have an increased salary than a contribution to the pension fund. That's the reason employers don't contribute. The employers don't have to pay anything for pensions, but they should negotiate with the workers to provide higher wages.
But unions are weak in Chile, in part because of 15 years of repression under the Pinochet dictatorship. Blue-collar workers complain that employers just don't get around to raising wages voluntarily. Workers at this Santiago construction site are busy building a beautiful new apartment complex. This laborer, named Rich, is old enough to remember Chile's previous pension system under socialist president Salvador Allende. In the early 1970s, employees contributed 12.5% of their monthly wage to the government-sponsored plan, and employers matched it.
I think the new mutual fund pension system is unjust for us, the workers. We were supposed to receive more money than under the old pension system, but it's just the opposite. It's not fair. The old system was much better. Today the rich are benefiting, not us.
Alejandro, another worker, says when General Pinochet imposed the new system in 1981, it was aimed at reducing costs to the government, not improving pensions for workers.
I don't think the system works very well. The benefits are very bad. They don't reflect the needs of ordinary people. The new system was an economic decision to benefit businessmen, not the individual. The fund companies make big profits, but we, ordinary people, don't benefit. The cost of running a pension fund is very low, and they don't invest anything. But every month, they're making money.
Alejandro has something there. Of that 13% deducted from workers' wages each month, 1.7% goes to the mutual funds for expenses and profits. So it's not surprising that the funds report shareholder profits of 20 to 30% every year. The funds have become so lucrative that American and European companies have bought up significant stakes. Juan Gumucio is a law professor and pension expert.
Las AFP han constituido un negocio directo.
The companies make fabulous profits. They make more money than the drug traffickers make selling white powder. They have no costs above their immediate expenses. They produce profits many times over their invested capital. There's no significant government regulation. The market is concentrated in a few companies. In reality, three big companies control the entire pension fund market.
Such high profits don't bother some workers, however, if they also benefit. A construction worker named Roberto is getting close to retirement age, and he has voluntarily increased his monthly contributions.
It's the only way we have to retire. I hope the pension will be adequate. I contribute 20% of my monthly salary. It's a lot. I haven't calculated my pension, but I have a friend who's getting a good pension. He has children who are still in school, and it's good enough for his family.
The system does work for some higher-paid workers who save a lot and invest wisely, but that only applies to regularly employed workers. Remember retiree Olga Sigel, who we met at the beginning of this story? Her husband worked as a self-employed salesman for a while, so for a time he wasn't covered by the system. In fact, 42% of the workforce in Chile isn't covered. Independent contractors and workers in the informal economy, such as these street vendors, aren't required to participate in a pension plan. They could voluntarily contribute money each month, but as this vendor explains, he can't afford it. We simply don't have enough money, he says. I have a child in school. I don't have any money left over. No street vendor I know participates in the pension plan because we have so little money. We make only $4 or $5 a day. Pension fund board member Lorraine admits this lack of coverage is a serious flaw in the system. He says the government should provide special tax breaks to encourage self-employed workers to participate.
They're looking for the next 20 days, not 20 years. And that's a problem. Approximately one-third of the workforce in Chile are independent. They are probably not willing to make contributions to a social security system for 20 or 30 years more. So it's very difficult. The only way I think that you can really increase coverage is with some special tax incentives for those people.
But Lorraine says on the whole, the system works well and helps promote Chile's free market economy. Because participation is mandatory, the pension system has increased the savings rate. The roughly $40 billion held by the funds helps stir Chile's economic growth and helps make the country one of the most economically stable in South America, say supporters such as Fund Association President Guillermo Arthur. He says the pension system has increased employees' faith in free markets because workers earn more if they take an active role in investing.
The old pension system was pay-as-you-go. It was passive. The active workers paid for the pensions of the passive workers. The active workers made less, and the passive ones made more by doing nothing. We changed to an individual system in which the worker invests month to month to pay for his pension.
In the United States, many people are worried that the fluctuation in the stock market can cause problems with their pensions. How do you deal with that problem?
We diversify our investments. For example, it's completely wrong for the funds to be heavily invested in government bonds. In Argentina, they did that. They aren't the most secure. We invest around the world, not only in Chile. The law allows up to 30% foreign investments.
But not everyone in Chile must contribute to the system. In fact, the very people who instituted the system shielded themselves from having to participate in it. When General Pinochet imposed the free market pension plan in 1981, he specifically excluded military and police. They have maintained a traditional plan in which the government provides pensions based on rank and years of service. Law professor Juan Gumucio.
El sistema de fuerzas armadas y policía en Chile es insuperablemente mejor que el sistema The
pension system for the military and police is unquestionably much better than the privatized system for civilians. After 20 years on the job, they get pensions based on their most recent salaries. They have health care with their own hospitals, which have the most modern equipment. This is a significant cost for the state. When the Pinochet dictatorship imposed the plan, the idea was to reduce costs to the government. Curiously enough, he didn't eliminate the high cost of military and police pensions.
In the U.S., politicians of both parties worry that the Social Security system will go bankrupt and require large government subsidies. Privatization is supposed to solve that problem by making the system pay for itself. But Chile's privatized system still requires government subsidies, a whopping 5.7% of the gross domestic product every year between 1981 and 1998. That's because the military pensions are still subsidized, but also because the government guarantees a minimum pension to anyone who has worked 20 years or more. The minimum pension is now only $110 per month, well below the poverty level. Gumucio says within a few years, most Chileans will only collect the minimum.
After more than 20 years of experience with the system, we know we have serious problems. The system benefits some people, but not the majority. By the year 2010, 60% of retirees will only qualify for the minimum pension. That means the state must subsidize the difference between the minimum pension and what those individuals have in their mutual fund.
Mutual fund official Lorraine disputes those figures.
I think the proportion of people with the minimum pension would be rather similar to the proportion of people that owns the minimum salary in Chile. And that proportion goes between 15% and 18% of the population.
Depending on whose figures are correct, in years to come, Chile may have to subsidize some of its pension system or a whole lot of it. Jorge Milan, pension specialist with the country's largest union federation, says this kind of privatized system would never pass Chile's House and Senate today.
No olvidemos que el sistema previsional chileno.
Don't forget that the pension system was created during the time of the military dictatorship when there were no parties, there was no democratic constitution, and when workers had no right to vote. About four military officers made the decision. We can say without doubt that the Chilean government has created a very sick child. If we don't operate, the child will die.
At home, retirees Olga Siguel and her husband, Carlos Pasache, express puzzlement that anyone in the U.S. Congress would look to Chile as an example of Social Security reform. They tried to live on their pensions for 3 years. Pasache drives cabs 6 days a week to earn some extra money, but they still got evicted from their house.
The people running the mutual funds paint a pretty picture of our pension system, but it's not true. The profits that go to the pension funds should go to us.
For Common Ground, I'm Reese Ehrlich in Santiago, Chile.